Hi everyone, it's Gavin G, the best thing since rain. And you're listening to The Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I speak to Nicola, a specialist psychiatric nurse, solution-focused hypnotherapist and mindset coach with a background in community, acute, judicial and custodial psychiatric services. She's also the founder of Brainworks Therapy with over two decades of frontline experience. We'll be discussing Brainworks Therapy services as well as solution-focused hypnotherapy. Welcome to the show, Nicola. How are you doing?
Hi, Gavin. How are you?
I feel like I need oxygen. There's so much about you. I was trying to, oh God, am I going to get this all done in one breath? Look, thank you for your time. I know you're really busy. Nicola, talk to us a bit about your background and how you got to where you are today. Because, I mean, you've done quite a few things.
Yes. Yeah. So after qualifying as a specialist psychiatric nurse, I went straight into specialist service. So I started within mother and baby, and within that specialist unit, shall we say, there was deaf psychiatry, neuropsychiatry, eating disorder. So I worked around that. After I left there, I then went into what we know as rapid assessment, so based in A&E, and assessing people that might come in who may be mentally unwell, but also managing people who have known mental health conditions or problems and are under teams, but managing them for the teams within the hospital. So it's like a community within a community. And then after that, I went on to work in judicial and custodial services. So that's managing caseloads of men from Cat A all the way down to Cat D, and looking after their care every step of the way. So that can be when they come in, assessing whether do they need to be there? Do they need to be in main population, or do they need to be on a healthcare wing if we have one? Or do we need to look at starting the process of getting them assessed to get them transferred out to hospital because they might be unwell? So when you look at category B prisons, normally when you get somebody who's mentally unwell, I mean, they're like unwell. They're straight off the street. They're unwell. And so you're managing somebody who's psychotic within prison. So
you worked with people from Cat A to Cat D. So there's, is that four different areas, is it?
Your Cat A is your lifers. So, and then your Cat B is remand. So you get everybody in there. So you get people who have stolen, you know, a pack of sweets, or, you know, shoplifted, to people who have committed serious crimes and are waiting to be, to go to court, waiting to be sentenced, all the rest of it. And then Cat C and Cat D is like your open prisons.
Gosh, so you've worked in some quite intense areas.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you
and
been involved
in some high profile crimes?
I was just going to ask that question. I thought, obviously you don't have to say any names or anything like that, but it sounds like you've worked in some, with some people which have been maybe part of the news possibly, or
And so people who have done, who have been in the news, who've done pretty horrendous things, and then having to manage their care. So essentially what you'll get a lot is, which is a bit annoying, but it's commonplace, is when somebody does something and say murder or just a horrific crime, and people get a whiff of mental health, they're like, oh, it's because they're mentally unwell. And I'm like, you realise that somebody can be bad and they don't have to be like mad and bad together. Like you can have somebody who can go out and do a murder and they can have a diagnosis of schizophrenia. It doesn't mean at that time of completing that act that they were unwell. They could be stable on their medication and be tickety-boo. Yeah. And so it's quite annoying when people want to use mental health to explain bad behaviour. And you have to say there's a difference between mental illness and behaviour.
Absolutely, absolutely. Can you tell us more about your background in terms of what led you to combine hypnotherapy with psychiatric nursing and mindset coaching?
So for this, prisons make people do a lot of things. Prisons make me do it. So working in prisons, you see the most common diagnosis or, you know, mental health condition that you will see in prisons is personality disorder, some part of the cluster, whether it be EUPD, that there will be some description, some cluster of it. And the interesting thing about that is I watched a lot of people, not all, because you've got some really good psychiatrists, but shushums, they'd give them shushums. So they'd come in, they'd give them pregabalin, they'd give them gabapentin, they wanted more diazepam. That did nothing for their personality disorder, but it was shushums. And actually, when we look at the NICE guidelines, what works is therapy. What should happen is they should go to a therapeutic community. There are certain prisons that have a therapeutic community, but there's not enough. So what works is therapy. But then when you come out of prisons and you look at mental health in general, it's that over-medication, when actually 80% of that can be solved with talking therapies. And I bet you if talking therapies were used more and accessed more, we would see a reduction in medication, in the dosage. There would be probably less people on medication. There would be more mental wellness because we would be talking about things, we'd be nipping things in the bud. But unfortunately, in this day and age, we're still very much like people say, I think somebody's got a mental health problem. I don't know how to talk about it. Talk about it. That's how you talk about it. Talk about it. Like, stop, like, messing around.
Absolutely. The medication, it is known to kind of dim the mind, is it? It kind of, does it, like, I mean, I've heard of medications in the past, and I've heard from other people as well, but the medication tends to kind of, is it relax the person more, dim them out so that they don't have as many thoughts or something? Or do you know the effects?
So it can happen as a secondary effect. So what we have to remember is that the reason why we get side effects from medication is because it's hitting different synapses. It's not just targeted towards one set. So, for instance, somebody who's on an antipsychotic, especially somebody of who's ethnic, so whether they're black or, you know, Asian descent or so forth, will get really bad, can get bad side effects, is because it's doing other things, isn't it? So yes, it's targeting what it needs to, but sometimes it doesn't agree with us because it's hitting other synapses. So whether that's you're getting, you know, motor problems, whether you're getting what we'd call excess saliva, whether that's you feel more lethargic, because some medications are there to slow you down as well, but also help take away some of the symptoms. However, we know that mental health and mental wellness is not just dependent on medications like a plaster. The mind's a powerful thing. So therapy helps you get down to the root of it and almost chop it off. Because if you think about trauma, and when you see trauma, trauma's the buoyancy aid that you'll see floating on the top. But what's holding it down, what's weighing it down at the bottom, is what we need to get rid of, so we can move through it. And the best way to do that, and the only way to do that, is through therapeutic interventions.
And that's where, I suppose, is that where you found that combining hypnotherapy with psychiatric nursing and mindset coaching, is that where you thought, well, hold on a second, this is basically a way forwards?
Yeah, 100%. When you look at, compared to, and I probably jumped a little bit, but compared to other therapies, modalities, therapeutic interventions, it's superior. And here's why it's superior: because you're treating the person, you're talking to the person. So it's very patient-centered, or very client-centered, client-focused, and you're getting in the same boat as them and you're listening to their journey, but you're also allowing them to see their greatness. And so I'll always say to them, I'm asking you to repeat your brilliance. I'm not asking you to repeat your mistakes. And that's what you see different with other modalities. So I'm going to use CBT, even though I do use CBT skills, but CBT is a whole modality. Will I use it? No. Because what happens is that you focus backwards. So you look at the problems, and we call it the polar bear in solution focused therapy. You're just concentrating on that polar bear. You're looking at the problem like a watch pot never boils. So all you're doing is looking and looking at that problem. You're not looking how you can move forward. You're not looking at the strengths you've got. You're not giving them hope as small as a mustard seed. They're looking at all the bad stuff. But with solution-focused hypnotherapy, when you're forward-thinking and you're looking forward, you're changing your brain structure. You are not the same person you were yesterday, as you were the day before, as you were the day before that. You are constantly changing. And when we realise that we have the power to do that, we are not a passenger in our lives. We are not helpless. The change is miraculous. You have to give them that opportunity, because a lot of the time, even now, which it shouldn't be within healthcare, it's very paternalistic and it's very concordant. It's very like I say, like compliant instead of concordant. It's very I say, you do. And what it should be is concordant, where we do it together. And that's what solution focused therapy is about. It's about us doing it together. Me being led by you, you being your truest North Star, because the patient, whether they believe it or not, the client, patient client, they know what they need. They might not know it, but they do. And when you look at the clinical results are superior. So unlike CBT, where if you look at the guidelines, you know, they'll say if somebody gets to 28 weeks and they've not made 28 weeks, mind. So that's like half a year. So if somebody gets to 28 weeks and they've not made progress, you're looking at moving like 28 weeks. 28 weeks, that's a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time.
I could have the weeks like that, but it's essentially around that. However, when you look at solution-focused hypnotherapy, unless you are chronically depressed or have chronic anxiety, after 12 sessions, I'll never see you again.
Gosh.
And normally it's after six sessions, if I'm honest. So I say to my clients, it's between six and 12 sessions. And I've only had one time that somebody has seen me more than 12 sessions. And this was a gentleman who had been depressed, chronically depressed for most of his life, had been on different medication, and got in contact with me just before Christmas, where his daughter did, because he just said, I don't want to live anymore.
Oh.
And I just said, what do you want? And he said, I just want to make it through Christmas. And I said, okay, we'll get you through Christmas. We'll get you to Christmas Day. And so we did. We got him to Christmas Day. And then we did the 12 weeks. So we did 12 weeks together, one session a week. Then we went down to one session every 2 weeks. Then we did every 3 weeks. Then we did a month. And then I've got a testimonial to this day. He just sent to me. I mean, he saw that I was up for an award, because I'm up for an award.
Oh,
for,
excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you. For Rising Star. But it's MBCC Awards in November. And he saw that I was up for it. And he was like, I can never thank you enough for the help. And that was over 3 years ago, and he's still here today.
Fantastic. That's brilliant. When you get that kind of response from the work you're doing, it makes, and I've spoken to other people about that, make that kind of difference, and you're saving a life, basically, and it's huge. I mean, as well as everything else you get a reward for, that bit where you've actually saved someone and they basically tell you that, that's massive.
Yeah
you know,
it's so I say rewarding, but to know that just that one, I always say just that one, I just want to start with that one person, and just know somebody out there who's still here because they've worked with me, who doesn't feel on their own, who's made that step. I just couldn't think of any better purpose in life.
That's, I think it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with Nasal Guard for pet lovers. Nasal Guard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try Nasal Guard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So Nicola, thank you so much for that insight into a bit about what you do. Let's talk a bit more about solution-focused hypnotherapy and how it differs from other forms of therapy.
Yeah. So it's different, as we were saying, because it's very forward-focusing. It's also concentrating on the client's strengths, what they're doing well, how can they repeat what they're doing well, how can they stay focused, and how they can start restructuring their brain, and how they can use the trance hypnosis part of the session, because I get them to do self-hypnosis as well, which is like listening to an audio track, how they can every night. So I'll give them a track to listen to, and it helps them start relaxing. It helps their two minds come together, so the conscious and subconscious, and they start focusing on one goal, whatever that goal is that they've set out, whether it's they want to feel happier, feel more confident. Do they want to stop smoking? Do they want to get rid of a phobia? Do they want to work on weight loss? Normally it's for anxiety and depression. It's tied to something. Trauma even. So, I have a lot of clients with trauma, and it works to help shift that as well.
It sounds like a lot of affirmations, the person saying to themselves, basically implementing positivity into their thought process about something they might want to achieve. Is that kind of tied in a bit with it?
No, so I don't really do affirmations.
Well, I was wrong there then, weren't I?
I'm going to sound really horrible now, but I find affirmations a bit, to be honest, there's no better way of like explaining it. It's just like, I'm like, no. But what it does do is it starts getting the client to concentrate. So you will kind of like concentrate on the more positive things in life. And when we concentrate on the more positive things in life, we release the neurotransmitters and neurochemicals to go with that. So you release what's called DOSE. So it's dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins. And they're all the catalysts for mentally healthy behaviour. that gets you to see life more positively, that gets you feeling more motivated, that gets you feeling more focused, that helps you think, I can, instead of I can't.
That makes a lot of sense. As the owner of Brainworks Therapy, what are the most common mental health issues your clients face, and how do you help them overcome those challenges?
So the most common is anxiety, depression, and definitely trauma. However, they will present normally with lack of confidence, feeling overwhelmed, lack of resilience, knowing that they've got poor sleep but can't figure out why. Maybe an overuse in substances. So I've had that a lot. So whether it be alcohol or whether it be illicit substances like drugs. So that's normally how it presents. And when that comes in, it's been on the increase a lot since COVID. So everybody thinks that COVID's gone. They're like, oh, it's gone now. Let's stop talking about it. No. No, we're still seeing the fallout from COVID. So from school children still having problems attending school or going back to school, through the mental health from the hybrid workers, because the hybrid went nowhere. They were like, oh, you can work at home and then you can come in for a day. Think about it realistically. It was all good. It was all fun and games when we were getting,
I know you're talking. I was talking about this the other day with my mum and dad and my brothers.
Oh my God, what was it called?
The grant for people that are not working, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. You get the grant to stay at home.
Yeah.
And then lush weather with all that barbecue.
That's right. I was working through COVID, but we were remote working. But I know some people, unfortunately, they couldn't work, but they were...
They were loving life.
Was like, oh, this is what it's like to be a millionaire.
But what happens is that you lose that connection. You lose that connection from your tribe.
Yeah.
And now people have got some really funky behaviours because they're not doing what... So like how we would go to work and how we would communicate and be with each other. Now, if there ain't something that can be done by Zoom, it ain't happening.
Like, I had that bit of anxiety because I'd worked through COVID remote working, and then we had to go back to the office. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to be in a room full of people. And I actually, I was there, it was a good few days before. And I was like thinking, gosh, I feel really anxious. And I'm quite a confident person. I'm happy to go out in public and I can go out on my own quite easily and go about. But then I was thinking, gosh, so now I'm going to go back in the office. And I remember I was really anxious. And I went in and I started off really quiet and I was talking to people. And it took a little while. I don't know if you had the same thing. I don't know. I heard some other people had it, but I had it. And so when you say that, I 100%. This is for someone that was still working, but remote working.
Yeah.
So if someone was not working and had to go back into that working environment, into that process, gosh, they must have been like, their anxiety levels must be through the roof.
I'm telling you. And just having to be with all the stuff, like, you know, overnight, the 2 meters apart just went. Like, come on, stop getting too close to me. Like, you know, there's somebody...
human contact. Oh.
You are in my square. You're in my square.
And the trains, it's like, oh my gosh, this is like a nightmare.
When everybody came together, I had like the biggest backpack. And they're like, can I sit there? No, you cannot.
I remember getting on the trains and it was empty. I had to go into the office once, and obviously with the spacing and the relevant regulations in place, and the train, in the morning it was empty. I was the only one on it, and I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh my gosh, this is quite surreal, you know. So yeah, the people that you've worked with when they were going through that must have been like another level altogether.
It was, because all the things that they would normally do to look after their mental health and their mental wellness was not available. So in fact, that's where Brainworks Therapy was born from, because I was watching people crumble and not have access to services. Because, oh my God, overnight, like, I don't mean to moan, but I'm just going to bring it. It was, so the GP surgeries, and you know what, the GPs can have it because I've had it with them anyway. they would literally, it must be nice to be queen for them, because they shut up shop quicker than like a whoopsie sale at Asda. Like overnight, it was, oh, sorry, it's just going to answer machine. Like, hello, I've still got to go to work. You can't just not be at work and leave it to an answer machine. But that is what they did. They closed the doors, they put their barricades up, and off they went to drink a nice cup of tea.
Were they doing a lot of phone calls, remote working like that or something for appointments?
Eventually, but it took a couple of months for them to get into it, to actually start doing that. Even wanted to diagnose over the telephone, but that's a whole different thing. But, you know, they were able to go away. We weren't.
Yeah.
We had to sit there. I had to have the risk every day, because of being a mental health nurse, of assessing people, even being told by the guidelines that actually you shouldn't be opening the cell door to assess somebody. What if they're psychotic? How do you think I'm going to assess them?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Gosh.
And so watching these people not being able to get the help they needed, I was like, online? Everybody seems to be on Zoom or house party. Let's go online. And for me, that was always the vision for the future, if we really look at it. Because if we look at like trends and everything else, if we look at the new generation, if they want to know something, they're using TikTok like a library. They will go on TikTok and they will literally, people go in and put depression, anxiety, how to cure da-da-da-da, and bringing up TikToks.
Yeah.
So people want access online. People are watching videos online now without any sound, with subtitles.
Everybody wants it here and now, quickly. I need this information. When really, actually, the thing you're looking at is the thing that might be causing a problem. It's about getting back out.
Yes.
Get back out. It's about walking through the door, the front door, and going into society and talking to people, you know, face to face. And, you know, don't get me wrong, social media has some positives. You can get some information if you need it. But again, you've got to be careful with the information you're looking at.
Yeah.
Because some information is not accurate.
No.
And, you know, GPs will, I've seen GPs before, they said to me, you know, well, people need to be very careful what they read off the internet, because they start applying it to themselves, but it might not be absolutely correct. So, yes. And then people start self-diagnosing as well. And they think, I've got these symptoms. That's tricky.
Yeah.
You don't want to be self-diagnosing, and you need,
that's
what you
need.
Yeah. That's where you need it. I'm guilty of it. I've looked at this, oh, do you know what? Have I got a bit of this and that? And oh gosh, is this what's wrong with my leg or my arm? You know, and I've got to the doctors, they're like, no, mate, nothing wrong with you. You need a few weeks to sort yourself out, maybe a month or whatever it is. And, you know, lay off the weights or the gym. And you know what I mean?
But yeah, it though.
Yeah.
People do that. They come to me and they're like, I'm psychotic. And I'm like, okay, let me tell you for nothing, you're not psychotic. But I just, stop it. Stop it right now. And I have to say to people, stop using those words. I'm psychotic. Have you lost touch with reality? No. You're not psychotic then, are you? Are you hearing voices? No. You're not psychotic, are you?
Yeah,
and people will say that. They'll look on the internet and they'll be like, oh, I'm psychotic. Oh, I'm anxious. And I say, don't use the word anxious. Tell me what you're experiencing. Tell me what you're feeling. Because you'll see people there. Oh, they'll say, I'm bipolar. Are you though? Are you, or have you got emotional dysregulation?
Self-diagnosis is dangerous, you know. And then you start, when that happens, then you start, if you believe in it, you start feeding into it.
Yes.
That's going to lead you down another path altogether. So you need to, this is where you need to get support from, you know, a relevant health practitioner, a qualified health practitioner. And you might need to get, if you need further investigation, you need to go for whatever that investigation might be to find out further information. But, you know, this is where we have to slow down a bit, and the information we look at, you know, be a bit more wary of, and that kind of thing. And it sounds like you've come across that quite a few times.
Yeah, everybody's a broad sweeping generalization. So I'll reframe that. A lot of people especially during COVID, became MedWeb.
MedWeb. I've read that so many times, that site. I'm so guilty. But then you start off talking, you're like, no, hold on a second. Let's stop here for now and not look at it anymore.
Look, you know, they had cancer, through they've got like a serious mental health problem. I'm just like, you're just neurotic. You're neurotic because you've been locked in a house. Like, you can only go out to walk an hour or so. You're being indoctrinated in calling the police if your neighbours have got one too many people around for a barbecue, and you've got nothing else to do. And you know what happens when the brain is bored? It starts making problems.
Oh, gosh. This is where we need to get out. This is where you kind of go for a walk, even if you can, if you feel confident, you know, just being out and about. And I'm now talking about after post-COVID now. You go out, you talk to people, you know, do you know what I mean? Get some sunlight, get some air. Fresh air and a walk does the world of good, you know. Honestly, I think it's underestimated how good a walk is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for 100%. A walk, what a walk does for you on a physical and mental level is extraordinary.
Absolutely.
Like, if you suffer from something like SADS, doing a 20-minute walk, getting a, you know, a little bit of daylight, the neurochemicals it gives you, what it does for you, what it can help with heart disease, it can help say with anxiety, blood depression, stroke, lower your blood pressure, 100%. Lower your risk of diabetes.
Million percent, absolutely. You know, walking in itself is like a superpower. You know, I've seen it off YouTube. They do a few videos about walking, but there is definitely a lot of positives around it. You know, we're just going to go to a quick ad break, and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimising your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nicola, how do you approach the process of helping clients reprogram their brain and change their mindset?
Good question.
That's deep, isn't it? That's deep, isn't it? The next question is going to be even better, but yeah, go for it.
The first is looking at what they want to achieve and what is their desired life, their desired outcome. And when we get what they want from that, what happens then is they can start envisaging what the future will look like for them. And then we start looking at what are the limiting beliefs? What is the story that they're telling themselves? Because we all have a story. And so what is a narrative that is running? Is it, I'm not good enough? Is it, I don't deserve this? Is it, nobody thinks X, Y, and Z of me? Whatever that narrative is in the background, we can pull that to the forefront, and then we can start dispelling it, which is what we normally do. So whereas we don't concentrate on the problem itself and focus on the problem, we start looking at what's the chatter around this? What's the chatter around a certain thing that might be reoccurring? And actually, what's one small step you can take towards changing that? So we're not looking at the whole staircase. We're just looking at the first tiny step.
Walk us through like a typical session.
So if I, after I've done the initial consultation, so the initial consultation's for around an hour. So during the initial consultation, again, we talk about what you'd like to achieve, what your desired goals are, your desired outcomes, what you want life to look like. We then talk about the brain and how the brain works and why you're feeling the way that you're feeling. So it's in layman's language. It's not like in all the science talk, but it's in layman's language so you understand. And then we go to the first session. The first session's really interesting because people, well, they shouldn't by the time they get there. But to people outside, they may think it's kind of like you sit down and you're like, I'm like, how do you feel? Tell me how you feel. And it's not about that. So the first session, you'll come in and I'll say to you, tell me what's been good. And you will see the person lock up before your eyes, because our brain is taught to look for what's wrong instead of what's right. So when you say to me, what's good? They're like, nothing. And I'm like, oh, nothing's been good. We're going to be here a long time. So it then gets them to start concentrating on the positives and not what has been good. Is it you had a nice cup of tea? Is it you had a hug from a partner? Is it that you bought some new shoes? Is that somebody said you got a beautiful smile? What has been good this week? Let's go. And so when they start to give me what's been good and giving me enough, and I know when they're kind of, then they tapped out and not being superficial, then we'll say, where are you in the happiness scale? One being the worst, 10 being the best. And we'll look at where they are. So say they say, I'm 5. Then I'll look at moving them either a whole point or half a point, depending on how they're presenting. And then I'll say, if you were to go to bed tonight and ask to wave my magic wand and you were to wake up in the morning and say you were 5.5, you made that small half a step, what would be the first thing that you'd notice? So we go through what they would notice, what they would think, what they would feel being a 5.5, what would other people notice, what would they be doing better? And then that's them envisaging what they would look like in the future after making that small step. And then we come up with a little plan. So it's like, in order to get to that 5.5, what's the first small step in doing that? So they might say, I don't know, if it's to feel more confident, they might say, oh, I don't know, maybe to put lipstick on. And I'll say, oh, okay, or we'll drill it down to that. And I'll say, when will you put lipstick on? And they might say, tomorrow morning when I get up. And I'll say, well, what time? And they'll say, tomorrow morning at 8. And I say, when you've done that, how will you feel? And they might say, I feel more confident. I feel like I love myself more. I feel like I'm giving myself time. And then we'll leave it there. And then we'll go in to the trance or the hypnosis part. And what that does is that embeds that goal, that it embeds that visualization. It takes the feeling with them. And it starts rewiring the brain, because the brain doesn't know the difference between imagination and reality.
That's a really good point, yeah.
Yeah, and normally then what you'll find is they'll go off and do that. But then it's a ripple effect. So they'll start doing things they never imagined. So they'll come back to me. So say that they've got low confidence and, you know, they don't really talk and so forth. And then they'll come back to me a couple of weeks later, totally unrelated, and they'll be talking about how they sent this email and how they stood up to somebody. And I'll be like, interesting. And they'll be like, why? And I'm like, what did you do that 3 weeks ago? And they're like, oh my God, I started doing all this stuff, like either being more organized or being kind to myself, or maybe, you know, standing up to people, or maybe feeling that they're more valued, or that their perception starts to change.
In terms of when you're working with someone, do you come across, I mean, we've got a few minutes left if this is okay. I'm just thinking, what are the biggest barrier do you find in terms of when you're trying to support someone through your processes, and with the person themselves, do they put barriers in front of them as you're trying to help them, or if so, what would they be?
This is a tricky one to answer because I get to choose who I work with. So if I don't think we're going to be a good fit, then and vice versa, then we don't work together.
Do you assess the person in the beginning, maybe in the first session?
Yeah, so that's what the initial consultation's for.
Okay.
Do we get on? Am I going to be good for you? Because this is dependent on the client doing the work. I'm not here to force you to do the work. I'm not here to force you to take responsibility. So if I feel that potentially you're not going to do the work, you are not in the right headspace, I have to think about my reputation as a service provider and what, because they'll, you know, because the likelihood is I'm going to get feedback is like, it doesn't work, da, da, da. I can't afford that because you didn't do the work. I can't make a chair a table. So if it looks like that, then I'll just knock that on the head and I'll be like, no, it's not for me. However, somebody who comes into practice and potentially the barrier is a limiting belief coming up, which happens obviously very often, then we start talking through that limiting belief and finding evidence of why that might not be true. So we're not necessarily focusing on the problem, but it's like, let's look at the evidence. So they say, oh, I'm always anxious. You're always anxious, are you? And normally when I say that, they'll look at me and they'll start laughing because I get really sassy. I'll be like, you're always anxious. So even when you sleep, you're anxious. I know, I'm not anxious when I'm sleeping. Well, you're not always anxious. So let's try again. When are the times that you are not anxious? Because there are times. Because if you're always anxious, you must be on the verge of having a stroke or a heart attack. Let's be real. So it's actually debunking those stories that they're telling themselves and look at the language they're using as well.
That makes a lot of sense. Holding people accountable as well, isn't it? The person needs to put the work in, you know, for them to help themselves, isn't it? And that's the case with all of us, really.
Yeah. And nobody's coming to save you. And I always say it to my clients. I was like, I'm here to help, but nobody's coming to save you. So strap up your boots and put your cape on and get to work, because you are going to be saving you. You need to be the person you needed a year ago, 9 years ago, 10 years ago. You need to be that person. Becoming is better than being. So let's get you doing the work. I'm here to guide. If you think about yourself as drowning in a river, I'm not going to jump in that river to save you. But what I will do is hold a branch out to help you climb out of that river.
Thank you so much, Nicola. Nicola, where can people find out more about your services, and if they want to connect with you, you know, find out more about what you do and how that you can help them?
So I'm on Facebook and it's Brainworks Therapy. I am on Instagram at Brainworks Therapy, and I am on the web, the www. So I am www.brain-works-therapy.com. www.thetherapistweep.com. You can find me there. And I'm sure you are going to have all these lovely links in your show notes as well.
I will do for Instagram and UK Health Radio will as well. Nicola, it's been great talking to you. Thank you so much for coming to us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you to our listeners. You know where you can find me at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.